At a moment when America is revisiting so much of its violent history and challenges of finding ways to live together, here comes Huckleberry Finn again, a spectacular character from a flawed novel in which Mark Twain managed to challenge racial history, getting a lot wrong, but also leading the way to understanding how African Americans and whites could actually be friends, live together, and create an America dreamed by Twain and so many others. Now there's a new book called Huck Out West that attempts to bust up, as Huck might say, some of them ugly myths about the Indian Wars, the immigrant expansion, and all the trouble they caused, and about the natives themselves, who Americans, I reckon, have never understood rightly. It is author Robert Coover who takes this leap into Twain and Huck Finn to tell a story of Native Americans through a friendship between Huck and Eta of the Lakota tribe. Tom Sawyer and Becky Thatcher are there as well. Coover says Huck is the great literary vehicle for exploring the worst of American history because somehow Huck never loses his innocence.
More than just the voice of American innocence, it becomes a kind of personalized, one-on-one, thoughtful but nevertheless not confrontational acceptance of the world as it is, but with a constant leaning toward the good side of what things are.
Coover said, the joy of this book came with a lot of hard work.
Well, it started really with the fact that I've written a lot about the West, so the West was very familiar to me, and I also had, as a starting point, love of Twain's book. I mean, even if it's a bit flawed, it's still extraordinary work. Then I got directed to or found somehow his intended sequel, Tom and Huck Amongst the Indians. It's very problematic work, very racist, very anti-Native American and so on. So I thought, well, that's got to be corrected even for Twain's sake.
Mm. You describe Twain's experience as a writer as a learning about African American history. How tough was that for Twain, do you think? And how do you see it in his words and in the biographies that you must be familiar with?
Yeah, I think it was a hard thing for him. I think that his trip west at the time of the Civil War, he broke away from all that kind of Civil War duality and disappeared into the West sort of as an escape. So he himself had a little bit of Huck in him in that respect. My feeling was that his writing of Huck, which began as just another Huck Finn, Tom Sawyer story, begins with, they make fun of Jim at the beginning. They kind of pull a trick on him, and Jim kind of good-naturedly ends up being the butt of their joke. And as it evolved, where both people have to run away, Jim from slavery and Huck from his father, really, at that moment when they get together on Jackfish Island, it's a kind of, for Twain, a new writing thing he has to do. He has to think about these two guys on this island. And by the time they set off on their raft, they're bonded, and this is a wonderful thing that's happening. And I think it's happening to Twain at the same time. I think
it's a dream of accommodation, of reconciliation in America that I think finds some very rough waters as history passes. And it's something that you confront here. I don't want to give anything away in this book. I literally don't want to give anything away in this book because it's such a terrific read. But I do want to take us into the Black Hills, all right, where you take us. And the character of Zeb is kind of a whiskey trader fellow, a moonshiner fellow. And then Eta is a great character from the Lakota whose name means what? Fall down on his face?
Fall down on his face. Yeah, fall on his face.
And then, of course, there's Huck. And clearly Huck has bonded with Native Americans and has some things to say about them. And so let me just read here. When old Zeb first seen me and Eta together, he hired us to do his trading with the tribe, and that made it easier for Eta to come and go when he wanted to. It was the best time of my life and of Eta's too. The Indian-hating emigrants hadn't arrived yet, and we could sit around in my teepee and drink and jabber the night through. Zeb needed grains for his whiskey mash and meat and fish for himself, turnips, hog, nuts, berries, whatever other food the tribe gathered. And he also traded for things he could sell to immigrants passing through. All in all, Zeb was doing tolerable well. He was the richest man in the gulch, though back then that weren't saying much. Now everybody was going to be rich in the rush, the gold rush. And old Zeb may be the richest of them all. I worried Eta's money pouch wouldn't mean beans to him. Wow. What I mean, that's a lot of history you got going there.
That's true. But it happens, you know, the reason that he and Ite hooked up, Ite was out of sorts with his tribe too, like Huck was with his, and mainly because he didn't like all the rules and regulations. He didn't like being civilized, just like Huck didn't, and it was a different civilization, but it still had its rules and regulations. And so they sympathized with that feeling with each other that they were at odds with their own people. And at the same time, they had a natural bonding. They had a bonding that kind of transcended the differences that they might have had otherwise, and total respect for each other's opinion in that way.
Well, it raises this point. You know, the Huck Finn ends with the – well, Huck Finn kind of ends, but certainly gives us this image of Jim and Huck on a raft as these friends, black and white, traveling in a new land. You give us this image of Ita and Huck in a teepee traveling in a new land, being friends and living the possibilities of human-to-human peace and reconciliation. 100 years from now, what's that raft going to look like? Huck will still be alive, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Do you think we can get more folks on that raft?
Well, that'll be the difficulty. And I think, you know, we're not in a time now when that looks altogether possible. But the thing that happens in the book is that it ends somewhat similarly. Tom comes back after being away for 20 chapters. And his coming back puts a crisis for Huck because it means he has to kind of choose between Tom and Ita, just as in the original. So who goes off with whom becomes important. The original story, which I wanted to avoid at all costs, if I were to imitate the book, I would have had to do it completely differently at the end. The ending is flawed in Huckleberry Finn. Tom comes back into the story, and they start making a fool out of Jim again. And this is not true to the novel that he's just written. I mean, Huck and Jim are so much more intimately close to each other than he ever was with Tom. And nevertheless, he buys in, you know, out of character, you might say, buys into Tom's decision to do another big joke. Huck is free, but they're not going to tell him that. They're going to make him do all kinds of weird stuff to escape to freedom. And my desire was to correct not only the problem of Twain's racism, but also the problem of him as a novelist, that he failed himself when he got to the end of Huckleberry Finn.
Robert Coover, thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome, John.
Robert Coover is the author of Huck Out West, a sequel to Huckleberry Finn that picks up with Huck and Tom heading west just before the Civil War.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.